The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat their crumbs that fall from their master's table." When Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Here ends our text. A lot is being made of this being the 10th anniversary of 9/11. A lot is being made of the recent wildfires, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes. What should we make of these hard times? Ultimately, I think we should make of them what the Canaanite woman made from her demon-possessed daughter. If we're going to do that, though, we can't miss the hard times. Well, how could anyone do that? 9/11 has been in the news every week for 10 years. News in all its forms has covered every storm, famine, and war. But you can still miss the hard times so as not to make of them what the Canaanite woman made of her hard times, a prayer to her Lord. And you miss the hard times when you digest them with nothing buttery. The nothing buttery diet is as follows. The hurricanes are nothing but the result of climate change. The Texas drought is nothing but the effect of a persistent high pressure dome. The earthquake on the East Coast is nothing but the movement of tectonic plates. God can't be speaking from out of the hurricanes as he did to Job. God can't say anything in baked or quaking earth because these are nothing but weather, geology, or maybe fate. I know what you're afraid of. You're afraid of Hank Williams Jr. You're afraid I'm saying what he was singing about 30 years ago. The preacher man says it's the end of time and the Mississippi River's going dry. Apocalyptic songs are nothing new. There was Eve of Destruction in 1965, and it's the end of the world as we know it in 1987. But these didn't bring in God. Hank did. And you're afraid of Hank. You're afraid I'm saying, "Thus says the Lord," when I have no proof of what God's saying. And you're right. That's very, very dangerous. That's saying, "I hear a word from God outside of Scripture. And if you let me do that to you, then I can say anything I want is from the Lord." Let's not go there. But let's do go to a mother whose prayers are ignored and insulted by Jesus. Skies that won't rain or rain too much. Earth that shakes whether by men's bombs or God's hands. Wars and recessions that won't end in the face of our repeated urgent prayers are like Jesus not answering a word to this heartsick mother. In these hard times, we feel God is saying what he did say to her. Salvation is for someone other than you. But if these hard times are nothing but meteorology, geology, economics, or politics, then you haven't and you won't turn to the Lord for help as this mother did. If God is not the one who shakes the earth, as Scripture says he is, then why turn to God when the earth shakes? If God does not cause, bring, send rain on earth, as Scripture says he does, then why throw yourself before the feet of God as the woman in our text did? If you don't see, as Psalm 148 says, that lightning and hail, snow and clouds, and stormy winds do God's bidding, then why come to the Lord at all? If, however, you conclude with the mother in our text that you're at the mercy of the Lord in this economy, this weather, this world, then keep crying out in prayer as she did. Call upon him in your days of trouble, even when he answers not a word, or he answers with more of what you're praying against. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, as the woman in our text did, even when Jesus treated her like I wouldn't treat my dog. My dog begs for food like this woman prayed. He starts out from a distance. He gets ever closer. He makes groaning sounds. He paws at my leg finally. And then he puts his head in my lap. I don't slap his nose the way Jesus slapped this woman. But we have to go where this woman did once we see that in hard times, we're totally at the Lord's mercy. And this woman teaches us that hard times call for great faith. But where does great faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word of God, says Romans 10. And in this text, the word calls this Canaanite mom a dog. And she says, yes. Where does the faith to say yes to that come from? Having seen the hard times in our Lord's hands, let us see great faith is there too. It's not in our hands at all. Faith that comes from us can be no more than positive thinking, no more than looking on the bright side, no more than seeing a silver lining in every storm cloud, no more than making lemons from lemonade, no more than telling ourselves that hard times don't last, hard people do. Faith that comes from us finds hope in weather patterns. It feels better when storm clouds gather or jobless rates decline. And friend, if you still have this man-made faith now, after months of no rain, it's not only the times that are hard, but you. You're living in any faith. The sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun, in this case, rain. You're living in Marine McGovern faith. There's got to be a morning after. If our Canaanite woman had such a faith, she wouldn't be face down before Jesus begging for help. No, she'd be looking on the bright side. Her demonized daughter would get better in time. But the woman didn't have man-made faith, but God-made. Great faith is based in Jesus' word. Just as I cannot say, in this drought, the Lord is saying this, so I can't tell you, thus says the Lord, you shall get rain next week. And neither could this woman have said before Jesus granted her request, I know my daughter will be delivered. No, such faith would not have been based on her positive thinking, not on the word of God. It would have been based on God's word because he had said no such thing that her daughter would certainly be delivered. Great faith comes from what Jesus first says. He has revealed himself as Lord, so this desperate woman approaches Jesus in that name. Three times she calls him Lord. Even after he tells the disciples that he wasn't sent to her, she prays, Lord, help me. Even after he calls her a dog, she says in effect, yes, Lord, I am a dog, and I wish to remain a dog. Having Jesus as Lord means believing his word of law, which says we deserve not even as much rain as we have had. His law says we deserve no break from the 100-degree temperatures. His law says sinners deserve only wrath and punishment. Isn't that what we say back to him almost every single Sunday? We are poor, miserable sinners who deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Not one of us can cry unfair. Not one of us can claim God is treating us badly when we get what our sins deserve. Having Jesus as Lord means we believe not only his words of law, but his words of gospel. His word of gospel says he has not rewarded us after our iniquities. His word of gospel says that thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. O Lord, who shall stand? The gospel says that the perfect Jesus was rewarded for our iniquities. The innocent Jesus had our sins counted against him, and he did stand. Jesus withstood all the punishment we deserve in time and eternity. We can pray for water because Jesus went without water to pay for our sins. We can pray for protection from fires because Jesus endured the fires of hell. We can ask the Lord for mercy because God had no mercy on His Son, our brother, Jesus. Faith that is based on God's Word says yes to both law and gospel. Luther says that like the Canaanite woman, you must say God is right in all that He says against you. And yet, you must not stop praying till you have taken Him on in His own words. Yes, we are dogs, but the dogs get fed from their master's table. Only that's not what the woman says. She actually says, yes, Lord, I am a dog, but dogs get fed from their Lord's table. She catches His word dog, surely an insult, and pairs it with the name she has been coming to Jesus in, Lord. But she didn't just come to Jesus as Lord, but as Son of David. That's a title for the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And she will be content with just the crumbs from His table. Won't you? One drop of Jesus' blood, because it's the blood of God, can cleanse the world of sins. Won't you be content with the tiniest of drops? One skin cell from Jesus' body is holy enough to cover a world's worth of sinning. Won't you be content if you just got a crumb of His real body at this altar? And should we who've had the water of salvation poured out on us in baptism fret about rain from above? Should we who have had God's word that He sent our sons away on Jesus fret that He will forget to send us what we need in the days, the weeks, the months, and decade ahead? Our gracious, merciful, forgiving, loving Lord will feed us as sure as I, a sinner, do the dogs under my table. But why the delay? Why the scorched earth and cloudless skies? Why can't a war we didn't start 10 years ago be ended by us? Why so much rain where too much has already fallen when the Christians there surely prayed that there be no more? Luther said that when God shows Himself distant and angry, concealing His grace and help, what He's really doing is planting faith deep in our hearts. He is teaching us to cling to His word alone when He pretends to be different than what the word says of Him. Jesus plants us like we plant tomatoes. When you plant tomatoes, you are supposed to bury them 3/4 in the ground. If you don't, they grow spindly and they produce nothing. When the world is frightening and our merciful God seems absent, He is planting us ever deeper in His word, so that great faith might burst forth from our hearts as it did from this Canaanite woman and from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk too was faced with a dire situation where God did not deliver speedily. But his book doesn't close with a whimper, but with the bang of great faith. He writes, though a fig tree does not bud, though there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's great faith in hard times. And because it is a miracle, it only comes from Jesus your Savior, planting you deep in His word and sacraments. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.